There was another factor that still made me hesitate to address these topics, a factor that I brought up early in our discussions. Raising my concern to the Dalai Lama, I explained, "I know that we're going to be talking about problems in society, and I'm really eager to know what you think. You've mentioned in the past that you identify most strongly with your role as a Buddhist monk, and I've attended enough of your Buddhist teachings to know the depth of your scholarship in Buddhist philosophy. But after knowing you for so many years, I think you're well qualified to discuss many other fields. I know you're a firm believer in the importance of ethical values, basic human values. And many times I've heard you speak passionately about applying these ethical values to every field of human endeavor, business, politics, economics, and so on. But over the years, I've seen you meet not only with religious figures from every major tradition, but also with leaders in every field, the world political leaders, top scientists, business leaders, and engage in dialogues and conferences with them." He nodded his head in agreement as I spoke. "In essence, you've gained a great practical education by intensive discussion with experts in many fields, and you've thought a great deal about incorporating these religious ideals, more from the side of secular ethics," he corrected. "From the perspective of secular ethics, then," I allowed. "But the point I'm getting at is that I don't think I'm qualified to be discussing these things with you. I was trained in psychiatry, medicine before that, and art before that. I barely even watch the news, at least not until September 11th. In fact, I'm probably the least qualified person to be exploring these topics with you." The Dalai Lama was silent for a moment while he considered what I said, then responded,
"These human problems, these problems in society, don't appear from nowhere. They are created by human beings and arise from the same problems all individuals have, but collectively, on a wider scale, there is an additive effect. But as a psychiatrist, I think you are qualified to understand the psychological factors that contribute to the individual destructive behaviors, behaviors that then create problems in society when large groups of people act in certain ways. And besides, you are a human being. You live in the world like anyone else. You don't need to be an expert to discuss these things. If these problems in society are to get better, it is not enough that a few experts discuss these things. Every individual has to change, and the only way to do this is for ordinary people to have greater awareness of the bigger problems, an understanding of what creates the problem, and a desire to change things, person by person. So, as a member of society, you are as qualified as anyone else. And the only way to change is through education. So, if we raise certain questions as we discuss things, then you can read, research, learn about these things. Find your own examples. That is up to each of us. That's our responsibility."
And so we began. As our discussions progressed over the next couple of years, it became clear that the subject of human happiness was so vast and there were so many topics to cover that we would need to divide the material up into several books. But the question remained, how should we structure and present the material? And where should we begin? With little deliberation, the logical choice seemed clear. In looking at the daily routine of most people, we would select the activity that takes up the bulk of our waking hours, work. When I suggested work as the topic for our next book, to be titled The Art of Happiness at Work, the Dalai Lama readily agreed and laughed.
The Art of Happiness at Work. You know, in my work, I travel a lot, and I schedule a certain time to fly that is suitable for me, but then, delay. I get a little irritation. A little unhappiness in the workplace. So I think that maybe I need a special Art of Happiness book too.